You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, it's time for us to get into our first conversation for this morning. We're going to be connecting with Elder Kulati to speak to us about young men and gaming addictions. If you have any experience on this, make sure you engage with us on +27734703520. Now, gaming can be fun, it can be creative and social, but it can also become an escape that takes over real life. For many boys, the digital world becomes more rewarding than the real one. But purpose, relationships, and identity are found offline, in faith, in family, and in face-to-face moments that truly shape one's character. And so we're talking about this. If you have a son, if you have, you know what, even sometimes it's not even the teenagers. Sometimes this goes all the way up into adulthood as well. So if you have any idea or experience on this, please do engage with us. My elder, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's good to be back here.
Yes,
and good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. It's good to have you back, my elder. Now, when does gaming cross the line from fun to unhealthy? It's just supposed to be a fun little hobby. How does it get unhealthy?
Yes, that is a big problem. I think in your introduction, you've highlighted the issue quite well. And the biggest problem is exactly that. When does it tip over? When you feel like you have to do it, even if it's no longer about the intention to have fun, when it interferes with your life, when it begins to take over and you fail or to doing some of the other important things in your life. When that happens, when you spend inordinate amount of time on it, when you find that it basically just it distracts your attention from some of the most important things. It could be studying, it could be work, it could be projects that you're doing.
Yeah.
It sort of interferes with the brain chemistry. You know, that's another problem.
Right.
When it at those levels, then it is serious for us men, and also for young men, it's a big problem.
Sure. And when you start talking about brain chemistry, those are the things that we don't even consider once when we first pick up a hobby. We're not thinking about how it's going to affect us, even, you know, when it comes to things as intricate as that. We just think, yeah, it's just a matter of managing my time. If it gets too much,
yes,
I'll be able to control it. I know when to pull back, when to stop, and things like that, not realizing that it can actually end up as an addiction.
And in fact, there's a name for something like this. According to the World Health Organization, they recognize officially something which is called gaming disorder.
Wow.
You know, as a mental health condition. It is characterized by compulsive, prolonged engagement in video games and other digital activities that are happening,
mm-hmm.
and it's a big problem for many men, and it causes a sort of a behavior where an adult person no longer operates at that level. They spend time just you know playing games and spending time on social media and all of that. So it's a big problem, this one.
For sure. And then what are the emotional needs that you think that gaming is trying to fill? What are the needs that are being met that are bringing people back over and over again?
Okay, there are a number of issues. For example, from a biological perspective, so when a person is playing, I talked about brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. When a person is playing games, from a biological perspective, there is a chemical called dopamine. I'm not a doctor,
mm-hmm.
But I know it just enough to know that dopamine release happens when a game is being played, and so it reinforces this reward-seeking behavior on a person. So in other words, the person feels like I need to have that feeling again. And the next moment you do it, you need to expose yourself more to receive the same behavior. So that's how it gets people, hooked. But also from a psychological perspective, people feel like they escape from stress.
Mm-hmm.
Things like social rejection, And when people have low self-esteem, people have anxiety, they feel like they can escape from all of those kinds of things instead of dealing with them directly. And also now, if you look at the whole gaming space, you find that there are groups, there are communities online where people can join and they play games from, you know, their competitions and things like that. So it almost creates this community that provides identity, that provides purpose, that provides friendship and status. So the more you advance in those games, the more you are recognized. Yeah. So something which is really, you know, not in real life, actually, but it's an online life that makes a person feel like they are important.
Yeah, sure. And then, so how can boys build meaningful hobbies and friendships and routines offline, especially in this digital age where everything is done online?
Yes, and it is a need for them to build connections in the family. Where as families, we need to have time to just put away our digital devices and learn to connect at home first. The same applies when you move out of home. They need to try and get connected to people that that value connection, conversation, right. Just talking, and hobbies that require, you know, like bodily movement, time to move away into the mountains or walk or exercise and things like that. And then you need to develop this capacity to close your device and put it away. So as young boys and young men, that is what they need to do. They need to develop the skill to connect with people, right. To talk with people. Yeah. And it is that causes them to begin to gradually migrate from this exposure to real life connectivity.
Sure. And that's such an important one, Elder, because when I think about teenagers and the way they are stuck in their phones and they seem to really struggle to hold a conversation. Even among
themselves,
if you bring them together with other teenagers, bring them with other people that they don't know, even if it's their same age group, but they're still stuck in their phones. They can't just pick up their head and have a conversation with another person.
Mm. So it's really it's such a big problem. Yeah. And, you know, and it means that we as parents need to initiate the conversations about this. You know, there are times at my home where my wife says, let's just remove all the digital equipment and just sit around the table and just chat. And sometimes, you know, we don't do it as much as we should, but we need to play games, just, you know, talk about the topic and so on. And I've also had some conversations with my own son, who's just 22 now. So, and my daughter's 18, about this issue. It's a struggle for young people.
Yeah.
But whenever, for example, my son attempts to break free from this, we talk about it and how it makes him feel and how, you know, how free he is, and putting attempts in place to actually try and do that.
Yeah.
You see, once you have a bigger purpose and a bigger objective of what you want to do with your life, you want to be, let's say, a healthy youngster, you want to be a purposeful person. Mm-hmm. In other words, now you put aside that which is going to derail you from achieving that. So I think that's another thing that young people need to do, is to develop, what purpose am I here? What am I trying to achieve with my life? So that you can look into these games and TV games and, you know, cell phone games and things like that in the context of what else is happening in your life.
Yes.
And in that way, because I read somewhere where they say, I think this guy was working for Google, one of the designing departments there. He said, games are designed not just to entertain, but to retain.
Hey.
So there are algorithms that are built into this thing to hook you in. It's a big It's a big business, a money-making scheme. Mm-hmm. So if you want your freedom, if you value your freedom, the sooner you get out of that scheme, the better, because it's not about you. It's not about fun. Mm-hmm. It's really about retaining you so that you can carry on the objectives of other people who are trying to make money out of you.
Exactly. Sure. That's powerful. And I'm thinking about even, I remember with my own kids. So I feel like it's this big conspiracy, because keep the parents busy.
Yes.
The parents are going to give the kids the devices to say, okay, you don't do this. Keep yourself busy with this. As the child is playing,
yes,
my child comes and she's like, okay, there's this new thing that's being advertised. Can I download this one? And when she's seeing that new one, another ad, can I download this? And it's just like, oh my goodness, what is happening?
It's a money-making racket that makes you feel like you have control over something, because you are the one downloading this app and downloading that game.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, the power is not with you.
Sure.
And young people are not matured enough to be able to understand that. So you're right when you're saying the agenda also is that of keeping the parents so occupied. Sometimes we as parents ourselves are hooked up on these things, and sometimes I feel guilty about the time I spend on my phone.
Yeah.
So the strategy is not just directed at young people, it's directed at all of us so that we can disconnect from one another.
Sure.
And it is that which is the biggest strategy, is a tragedy from all of this,
really
the disconnection between generations.
It really, really is. And even beyond the disconnection between generations, even within the generation, I'm thinking about young people who talk about how they're able to have conversations online. They can chat. They're very charismatic and they're funny in text, but they're terrified of meeting in person. They feel awkward
exactly.
when they meet in person. It becomes a whole new awkward world and they don't want to do it. So I'm trying to imagine, what is the world going to look like 20 years from now?
Hey. And it's causing mental health issues, because in the real world they become socially awkward.
Yes.
They do not know how, as you're saying, they do not know how to start a conversation.
Yeah.
They do not engage into feedback. They do not know all of those things, because the idea of the online life is that of feeding your dopamine levels, you make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Now, when that does not happen, and maybe there's a comment on your Instagram that is negative, because you're no longer strengthened enough to withstand those negative feelings. Some of the kids become morose, become anxious, become depressed, and tragically some of them even kill themselves or attempt to do that. I remember that I think it was last year, I read a story of a young person, a young boy who had an AI friend, that that artificial intelligence friend that they were talking with. It turns out that this AI was controlling this boy up until he told him to kill himself, and he killed himself. So it's a dark world out there, and young people need to be careful about managing this. And we as families need to play our role in strengthening their capacity to stay without these devices.
Yes. And I think we really just need to get comfortable with being unpopular with our children sometimes. Like, just accept that they will be angry with you. They will, they'll just think you are outdated, you are annoying, get out of my business. And we need to just get comfortable with that. We're so desperate to be liked by our children that we just keep giving them things that are harmful to them.
Exactly. And you would know, those of us who grew up before, that there are things now that you're a parent that you didn't like when you were a child, your parents do it to you. You realize that that thing was actually very helpful because it has made me to be who I am now. Yeah. It's going to be like that with our children as well. Yeah. There are things that you're just going to have to say, listen, this is not going to happen. You know, I don't think you'll be able to understand why. And I'm not expecting you to understand, but just believe that I have your best interest at heart, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, for sure. For me, it was,
that's it.
For me, it was sleepovers. My parents would never allow me to go for sleepovers. And I always thought, how? Guys, what's the big deal? It's my friends. You know their parents.
Yes.
What's the big deal?
And yes. I just felt like, what's going on here?
They were so strict for nothing. But now as an adult and hearing what other people have gone through at sleepovers and the things that happen sometimes, I'm just like, okay, I get it. Now I'm that parent. Like, you're not going anywhere.
No. And, you know, and I keep telling, and when my children were still small, I used to tell them about a story my former colleague shared with me. She said that there was a girl at church where she worshipped. Mm-hmm. That girl, you know, she noticed that when she became a teenager, she started not coming to church, and she was wondering what was happening. Mm-hmm. To cut the long story short, when she investigated with the parents said, hey, we have a neighbor, and so my child sleeps over there over weekends. It turns out that that neighbor was basically Satan worshippers. Oh. And so overnight on Fridays and on Saturdays, they would do these things. But in the morning, on the morning, both the friend was worshipping on a Sunday. Yeah. So every morning, on Sunday, then that family would take that daughter with them to go and do like give the poor the food and help the people and so on. Yeah. And the kid would then say, when the parents would say, hey, let's go to church, said, no, I'm doing much more socially important work.
Yeah,
in the community. Our church is not doing this thing that these people are doing. Yeah. Only to find out that the girl or the child, you know, was sucked into the satanic worship. So it's a big, big issue, this. And it also now happens even online.
Yes.
And that's why it's very, very, very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, so what boundaries then can help keep gaming from becoming addictive? Like, if we don't want to completely take it away, maybe this is a skill that a child has, or maybe they just want to, they do want to be healthy with it. What boundaries can we
have? Yes. All right. So there are healthy gaming behaviors when you sort of compare them to addiction. So, for example, controlled and time limited.
Okay.
Once you lose control, then it's spilled over to this. But also playing for fun, mm-hmm. not playing to escape something. You know, healthy gaming doesn't interfere with life. But addiction interferes with life. If the family has to go somewhere, or if you have got to do schoolwork or some important stuff, it interferes with that. Mm-hmm. Now, healthy gaming is balanced with other activities, but mm-hmm. addiction sort of dominates. So what needs to happen from an individual point of view, the youngster should set time limits.
Okay.
There are things which are called the digital well-being apps, mm-hmm. which are about well-being, exercise, just well-being stuff, rather than using these ones that are depleting to you. So apps like that help you to exercise, that help you to, you know, to help with your brain functions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to replace it with healthy alternatives, sports, art, real life, social activities. If needed, they probably need to get professional help.
Right.
Now, that is at the individual level. The family, what family needs to do is to encourage open conversations, create sort of device-free zones and times.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we need to model healthy digital habits. But I like the fact that you are talking about this this issue on the radio, because it raises awareness. This is where even churches and communities can do is to host awareness raising platforms for people to talk about this and for people to know what to do when things are happening where they feel they're hooked into these behaviors of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Sure.
Yeah.
How can parents and mentors support boys in building a balanced life?
It has to do with, you know, boys really need purpose and direction.
Right.
And they will never get that until they are mentored, they are spoken to.
Yeah.
My friend, I talked the last time about this friend of mine who is my accountability partner.
Yeah.
He likes to talk about life-giving conversations.
Mm.
We need to have life-giving conversations. Young boys need to engage with those, with mentors, with parents, especially their fathers or male figures that they respect. They need to try and get real achievement.
Right.
In other words, you know, you need to pass at school. You need to feel like you are improving at work. You need to feel like you are making proper relationships. That is what you actually need, rather than achieving some sort of online success. But what you need to have real achievement in your life. You need to write a poem. You need to, you know, develop an app. You need to do something that you can be proud of. You know, you need to shape your exercise and things like that. In that way, you are real achieving achievement. But also belonging and identity. I think last time we spoke about peer pressure. You know, we need to belong to an affirming group. A group that affirms your identity in Christ. It doesn't want to change you and remove you. And you need to have support to grow emotionally and spiritually. When these things are met in healthy ways, then the pool of addiction sort of weakens. In my mind, I think that is very, very important for young men.
Yeah.
They need to be held accountable. They need to develop purpose. They need to know why they're here on this earth, not to sit and entertain themselves forever. This is what happens. You know that Pavlov, in psychology, some years ago, there was a guy called Pavlov, where he sort of gave dogs, you know, food and takes it away whenever there's a Pavlov experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he noticed that whenever the time for that food would come, the dog would already salivate even before,
wow.
You know. And this is what happens in the social media space. Kids are made to salivate. They're told something is coming. Something is coming. They are there for hours waiting for this thing to happen. A new app, a new phone is coming. We need to move away from that kind of things.
Absolutely. About gaming addiction and boundaries for our young men. Final thoughts.
There's a verse in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, that says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful.
Amen.
And I will not be dominated by anything. We need young men to strengthen their mental capacity so as to be able to withstand the vagaries of marketing. We need young people to build associations with the right kind of people. We need them to be active in church. So, and the more they do that, the better. The more they understand that whenever they are exposing themselves to a digital device, they are paving a way towards addiction. So they need to make sure that they do it only for fun, but not as an escape. So they need to do these things that I've mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
But as long as they remember this verse, all things are lawful. There may not be any law against digital devices.
Sure.
But the question is it helpful?
Mm-hmm.
There's another scripture in the book of Philippians also that says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, I think it's 4:8, you know, if it's not like that, stay away from it.
Yeah.
So when you're exposed to these kinds of things, are they helpful to you? Are they noble? Are they truthful? Are they helpful? If not, try and work your way out.
Amen.
And adopt things that are helpful to you.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Elder, for coming through and for such a powerful lesson. God bless you and God bless your ministry.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. May God bless you too.
Amen.
All the best with the great program.
Amen.
Cheers.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.